Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio. Accent On, London edition. What can I say? 2020 is almost over. We had recently our beautiful holidays and we celebrated Christmas. We were not surrounded by our families and our friends a lot. I am in London, so we had only one day that we could maybe see somebody that we like and be with them in our houses, but only a few people could be together, and it was only allowed for one day. And today is day after Christmas, so again, we are alone. Everybody is alone. Streets are empty. Stores are closed. Everything is closed, and hope is the same all around the world that somehow, somewhere, this 2020 will take COVID away from us, and 2021 will bring a hope and brings love to our houses and ability to hug our friends, hug our families, be together again, and live life what we called before normal. So today, I have very, very special guest with me, and I want to share this amazing woman and her life story, her situation with COVID right now with whole world. I know that Accent On and Los Angeles LA Talk Radio is heard and listened by millions of people all around the world. I'm hoping that also people will tune to Accent On today to get educated a little bit about COVID from the first hand, from the woman who lives through this hell for the past 2 weeks. Because not only my dear friend, Teresa, who is our guest, is going right now through getting better through the COVID. She got the COVID, but her parents got the COVID. So we will learn from her how does this happen, how the system works, how we can help ourselves and help parents or friends in the situation like that. So yeah, this is a longer introduction, but it's pretty serious. I thought that the show will be happy and very happy, but we'll be talking about certain things, how friends are important in our lives. And Teresa Pirozzi, she was our savior when we moved from Los Angeles to London, and we had a big problem with our dog, sick dog, because we couldn't take sick dog with us to London. And Teresa was the one who just offered to take care of our dog, what we thought for a few weeks. And then she was a mama for almost 3 months for our amazing, beautiful, sweet dog who sometimes will be walking behind, and people know that already. So Teresa Pirozzi, welcome to the show. Welcome to our home one more time in London. You were my neighbor for a long, long time. And what can I say? You're so smart and so well educated. You're a serious, very serious woman. So, and now you are in the horrible situation.
Yes.
Your family and you and your daughter lives through the COVID. You have a COVID. So can you tell us a little bit how do you think your parents got the virus? And can you tell us a little bit where you live, where your parents live, all of the situation that you live in right now?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for that. You're so sweet. You know, I live about 2 miles away, from a mile away from my parents in Agoura Hills, California. They live in Oak Park, California. And as they're both 85 years old, so it's good to be close to the parents in case they have a need for something. We think, you know, there's two ways that this could have come into the house. We had, my mom is a transplant recipient, so she cannot leave the house because she's immunosuppressed. So for the past year, since March, my dad has been the one to do run the errands, go to the pharmacy. He goes to the grocery store with a mask. He protects himself because he doesn't want to bring it home to his wife, his bride, as he calls her. And, but we also had a Thanksgiving here at their house with only 7 people total. So we think it could have come in through him running errands and being out in public, or, you know, if we can't say for sure. They said we could have 10 people or less, the government, the recommendation, but even with 7, it could have snuck in that way. And it literally is like a bomb was dropped on our family.
So you, 7 people, and outside of your mommy and daddy, and now you, none of the 4 people or 3 people got the COVID outside.
Right, well, my daughter, Christine, yeah, she has it as well, but she lives here with them, and she was helping me care for them during the time that they were very ill. But of the 7, the other one was my son, and then my dad's grandson, my nephew, and his girlfriend. That was it.
Are they okay?
Yes, everybody's fine.
So
Alex, yeah.
So, yeah, like you mentioned, your daughter lives with grandparents. You live a little bit 2 miles away, so I'm sure you also had a contact with them.
Yes.
Probably, yes. And after Thanksgiving, your father, how many days took for him to just discover he just doesn't feel well?
He started feeling just like a cold symptom on about December 1st. And by December 4th, he had tested positive.
So it took 5 days. Days for him to feeling that something's more serious than cold.
Yeah.
And how did you go about to get your father test? How this works when you find out that something's wrong, where you need to turn to for that?
Frankly, I put my mother and my father in the car, and I drove them down to a local urgent care who did a test that we can get the results back in 20 minutes.
Right.
So they tested us all 3 on the 4th of December in the car, like a roving medical office, and they had us park and wait. And on the 4th is when they came out of the office with the results. They wouldn't let us go get them. They said, Jerry is my dad. Jerry, you're positive. Teresa and Shirley is my mom. You're negative. And so we drove home. We were all having masks.
Yeah.
I have gloves here. I put my dad in quarantine in his room as of the 4th. And by December 9th, we had to have him taken by ambulance to the hospital.
So his health deteriorated very fast, yes?
Yes.
What was the symptoms? What symptoms he had?
Well, the symptoms were a mild fever, which we were treating with Tylenol, and I was talking to his regular doctor throughout this. And then I bought something called an oximeter. It's a little thing that reads your oxygen level.
Yes.
And so I had bought that, and I was testing him every 2 hours, taking his temperature, testing him, and it slowly started going from 95%.
Which that's 94. Okay. 95,
yes,
is what we're supposed to have. And then you start seeing that goes down, yes?
Right. And then eventually, by the time I called the hospital on the 9th, he was oxygenating between 85 and 88% regularly for at least 2 readings.
So 5 days after he found out that he's sick, or 4 days, but almost 9 days from the day that he got probably infected.
Cold, yes.
That cold, his breathing gave him the biggest trouble, yes? Because temperature wasn't so high, yes? So he felt
correct.
the breathing that was the biggest
fever
problem.
It was the breathing and the complete weakness. I had to help him from a chair. I tried to keep him sitting up as much as possible, but I had to help him to a chair back to his bed. And I knew, and then the oxygen levels stayed down, and I knew that was the time, because if he couldn't be ambulatory and walking to the bathroom on his own and trying to just, his oxygen was so low that he couldn't function, really.
And now we are talking about you being in parents' house, mother. Your mama doesn't have COVID, although she thinks she doesn't. You think you are negative. You are protecting yourself the best like you can.
Yes.
Somebody needs to take care of the part of father because he's home. So you probably were thinking, oops, I probably am in trouble too. Or you were hoping, because I know how positive person you are, you were hoping that you will be fine, but probably you had also mother and your daughter in the same place. So how does sickness progress with your mama and you?
Well, you know, it's strange because, first of all, my parents have been married for 57 years, and it was really hard to keep my mom outside of the quarantine zone. I actually had to yell at her a couple times, you know, like a teenager, like, no, get out of this room. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, I did... With the mask, and we went through 100 pairs of gloves in a few days. I was changing gloves constantly, constantly sanitizing, constantly washing. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I might get this because the virus is, it's insidious. It's evil. That's what I keep saying. It sneaks in and gets in the smallest crevice that it can find to infect.
Were you leaving out? You obviously you were staying, and you are staying home today too. And today we have what day? What day is today?
Is the 26th, the Saturday.
And everything started beginning of the month. So you are going through the COVID 19 situation with your mommy and daddy, you and daughter, almost 20 days right now.
Yes.
And dad and mom is in hospital. But when mama start feeling no good, before your father was taken to hospital or you drove them, how does this work?
It was a day after my dad went to the hospital on the 9th, she started getting a little cough. Just a little cough. And she kept saying, it's nothing, it's nothing. And I'm in my mind, I'm going, well, let's see. So we went and took her to get tested on the 14th of December, and she came back positive.
So 2 weeks after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Almost 2 weeks and 5-6 days after father, her husband, knew that he is positive. And after mother... think and you were negative.
Yeah.
2 days later, probably in home, probably in home.
Yes.
You both got infected and her too. So
yes.
How did you manage to get daddy to hospital? You mentioned that you knew that his oxygen is going down, so there was no way to wait. Did you call to ambulance? How did you deal with this?
Yeah, I called the ambulance and they came in and they recovered head to toe, of course. Mm-hmm. And they got his oxygen level up a little bit with an oxygen mask, yes. And they took him off to the hospital. They actually brought him out to the door, front door, and opened the front door wide so they'd all be in... flowing air.
Yeah, that's what here they point in London so much, that if you have anybody in home, you just need to have all windows open.
Yes.
And anybody strange, you know, that comes.
Yes.
Right now, I will talk a little bit more. In London, you cannot have anybody. You cannot mix with anybody outside of your household because
Don't
we have additional virus that in London is in so... Everywhere, and people are getting sick like crazy everywhere. So you said ambulance came,
and
he was taken away, and that's when you saw him last time, end of the month.
Yeah. The hardest part is closing that ambulance door and thinking, knowing I can't visit him at the hospital or support him there like I would normally do. And I'm just taking a snapshot in my mind. It's like, that's the last thing. Is that the last time I'm going to see my dad? And then 5-6 days later, the same thing with my mother. Ambulance came. They're loading her up. My daughter and I are standing out there watching him close the door, and we're both looking at each other saying, is this the last time we're going to see her? They both have been taken away, and we can't visit them. We can't. I can send notes, but now they're so sick right now that even if I send a note to the hospital for the nurse to read, they're sedated to the point where they are unconscious.
So that's where I'm going right now with our interview, our discussion. I'm hoping people will listen carefully because you cannot protect your mom and dad. You need to take care of yourself and your daughter. You're blessed that your symptoms are not very bad. And you are right now, how many days after finding out that you are positive? How many days?
Let's see, we found out we were positive on the 22nd of December, so we're early on. 4 days.
Only 4 days. So outside of cough, you were coughing before interview a little bit, dry cough, seems like. You have fever, you mentioned. You have aches probably all over. And you mentioned
a headache.
And headaches. So you are taking, I talked to you before, wrote to you, you said Tylenol helps you.
Yeah.
To lower temperature. How is your daughter feeling?
She's about the same. The other symptom she has is the loss of taste and smell. Okay. So hers actually is showing that one additional symptom, but also she's medicating over-the-counter medicines, Tylenol, cough syrup, and that seems to be holding us fine so far.
And you are talking to doctors, to your GP? You are in a contact, or you just medicate yourself? Because I know,
they're so overwhelmed that the doctor doesn't call you and say, here's what you need to do. They send a general email out saying, here's what to take care of yourself at home. Okay. If you get this symptom, then go to the hospital.
So now we didn't talk about your son. Your son was present on a Thanksgiving. Seems like he lives separate right now with your apartment. And so you all are separated, so he is fine. Yes, he didn't get it.
Right, negative.
The mystique of this virus and how the virus chose us, and we cannot predict, we cannot really understand how does this work. You know, maybe he wasn't hugging grandparents, maybe he was in a different corner of the apartment, the house, you know, that it's, he didn't get it. You did.
Right.
So you say, and I'm you are on the Facebook. A lot of people love to read your posts. Your posts are so informative. So I naturally am reading everything. And I always say, Teresa, I wish I met you or spoke to you when you were my neighbor much, much earlier. Because I found out that having great neighbors all my life, I just love to talk. You know, you like to talk to neighbors. I love to talk to neighbors. Sometimes taking dog for pee, for normal people who don't like to speak to neighbors, takes 5 minutes. But when I was going with dog, this sometimes hour and a half, I was still talking to neighbors.
Exactly.
And one day, that I would say, angel sent us together in the same path, and we start talking. So I was always looking forward to see you and your beautiful dog, and just talking to you about everything, our life situation and stuff like that. But then I was learning more and more about you and understanding how smart you are. So I would love to tell people a little bit before we'll move more to talk about your parents and how they survive in a hospital. Tell us a little bit who you are, what is your profession, you know, serious one, and how you are dealing with COVID for almost 8 months right now, almost soon will be 8 months for all of us working from home. So can you tell us a little bit about your job?
Sure. My job is a judicial assistant for the Los Angeles Superior Court, And that's a fancy way for saying a court clerk. Basically, I'm the one who swears you in to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And then you get up and you tell the truth or you lie.
Now, you repeated this sentence probably thousands of times in your lifetime. So I will say, I will trust you with everything that I say to you. If I will say, please do not say it, please not. You probably are the 99.99% person who will never spread anything around. Any private conversation, which is, I had no idea when we talk about everything. I just naturally thought you are just an amazing woman. But you are in home right now. Now you are in your parents' home. You are through all of these 4 days. Are you still working?
Well, I took a couple weeks off to get settled in with the parents in the ICU. They're in the intensive care unit now. And then last week I went back to work from home, which is, I'm grateful, so grateful for the Superior Court that they allow me to actually work from home in that way. If I'm able to, they're going to let me. And next week I think I'll be working from home again and then maybe go back to work on the 11th. But they're being very, very cautious at the courthouse too. Yeah. For folks who they let very few folks in, but for the employees as well, you know, we all have to mask up. We all have to stay 6 feet apart, be very cautious. So they're trying their best to administer justice, but not, you know, have their whole staff get sick too. So,
and how many people got sick in court from people who work there? Do you have a lot of people, or really, really somehow, somewhere, all of you were well protected inside?
Initially, everybody was doing really well, but I think since Thanksgiving, when people had family gatherings, we've had several employees exposed, several positives. Positive test, and but they're getting through it the best they can, you know. But yeah, you could tell definitely after Thanksgiving there was a spike in people who were exposed, therefore they have to stay home for 10 days, or who actually got it.
So we are coming back to a lot of people who just not only don't care, they just diminish this virus, or they just say, oh, that's flu, and picks and chooses who will live, who will survive, and oops, you know, I would probably be not one who get it. And then we have young people mm-hmm. who entertain themselves outside in England too. A few days before Christmas, the streets were packed. I and my daughter are really, really trying to not go anywhere until necessary situation. We are walking parks and stuff like that. But the pictures and films on TV showing people shopping, just being in the bars, and just young people enjoying their life like this is their maybe last day, or maybe they think this is life forever. Whatever it is, it's just what people don't get it. What they don't get it is the mask, of course, a lot of countries say you're not supposed to wear mask, and other countries, we see China something, everybody covers the faces. This is not only because of COVID. This is for years. They walk outside protecting from smoke, from whatever. It's so many people on the streets. So, yeah, it's anti-human to have the mask. It's very hard to breathe. It's really disgusting, I think. It's a very took identity from all of us. We cannot see smiles. We cannot see reactions. It's just bad. This hurts me the most, and it's very uncomfortable to have it. But this is a situation that somehow we need to take all what we can to protect each other. And I don't know why people don't get it. Young, old, whoever. What is this? What is
this? I mean, in my family, for example, you have 3 generations who have COVID. My daughter's 25. I'm 40. I'm 57.
No,
my
you're
parents are 35. You know? It's not like, oh, just the elderly are going to get it, or the middle-aged people. I have a 25-year-old in the other room who has it, and she's been home. She hasn't been able to go to work since December 4th. because they won't let her come back because she kept getting exposed by the grandfather, then her grandmother, and now she finally has it. But she's not going out and partying or anything like that, and she got it. So imagine the risk you're putting yourself in. Honestly, you could celebrate New Year's coming up in a week, and you could be in the ICU 7 days later and very sick and dying. My parents are not doing well.
Yeah, let's talk about your parents. Go back. Like I said, I'm reading it. All your friends are following your post, and you are so, like, you know every step almost. I feel like you are next to your parents. I know you are not. So how you are getting all this information? Can you call to hospital? Nurses are giving you this, or you are just pursuing with your conversation with the questions, so they need to give you an answer, because I couldn't even know what to ask. I wouldn't know what to ask nurse or doctor, so they will give me some understanding without taking the time.
Right.
So that's, I know how respectful you are of that. So tell me, are you calling every day, few times a day, or they call you? What? How does this work?
I have decided that I will call once. There's two shifts, two 12-hour shifts for the nurses. So I'm going to call once in the morning shift and once in the nighttime shift so that I can check on my parents, but not take away time from one nurse twice a day. I can take away time from one nurse in the morning and then the night nurse. Okay. So that's been working out well. But it's odd because I have to talk to the nurses on one side of the ICU for my dad, and then I have to be transferred over to the other side for my mom because they're on opposite
not together,
sides.
Somewhere separate. They never got for a moment together. They don't even, probably your dad doesn't even know that mommy's.
No. And now that he's actually, they intubated my dad and put him under heavy sedation. So he's actually on a vent now, and he still doesn't know, but he's unconscious. So, only so he won't fight the ventilator. You know, they have to really heavily sedate folks who are on a vent because it's very intolerable to have to try and be awake and having that happen. So
I read in the beginning when he was in hospital that he wanted his beer.
That is root beer, yes.
Just please tell how did you find out about it? Who called you? How did you deliver this beer? And do you think your daddy knew that it was from you? Because then he was still okay in a way, you know?
Yeah, that was, it seems like a year ago, but it was maybe a week ago. And his nurse, I called his nurse and she said, your dad really wants a root beer and we can't find any at the hospital. Can you bring some? And I said, I'll be there. I was there at 4:30 the next morning dropping off the root beer. And he did get to drink some of it. He did know I brought it. He was sitting in a chair on that day. And then maybe within 2 or 3 days of that, he's not been able to get any. He's not been awake enough to, no more root beer at this time.
And yeah, to tell everybody, whoever listens, the root beer is not an alcohol. So
correct.
So to be sure that we are not bringing to hospital.
Right.
Yes, my producer Natasha Mirage sent me a note. Just clear this up. That's not alcohol. That's so cool. Thank you, Natasha.
Root beer is a delicious soda.
Delicious soda, but he missed it. So it's great that you could give it this to him because I'm sure he knew that it came from you.
Yes.
And now you have Mama. How is Mommy doing?
Well, she's not ventilated yet. She's not intubated. They have her on two different oxygen sources, something called a high-flow nasal cannula, which is just air through the nose, but it's got a bigger tube. And they also have her on a BiPAP mask, which forces air, a mask that covers their face, and it forces air down into the lungs. So she's got double oxygen right now, and she's oxygenating at a fair level, 95%, but that's with two devices on her. So they also sedated her because she's been very combative. She's been disoriented and confused. When that fight comes in, when you fight the confusion, your oxygen levels drop. So they have her sedated as well. They're both really knocked out right now.
I know that in a situation like that, nobody can predict an outcome. And so when you talk to nurses, do they give you any hope, or they just refuse to give any this type of information, or they say, no, we just, this is a time and we cannot do anything more?
No, they haven't said they can't do anything more. They have, the doctor, in fact, assured me, because my dad is much more critical than my mom at this point. The doctor assured me that he's going to keep trying everything he can. But they also call and just say things like, your dad is very sick. My dad's lungs are leaking air right now into his chest cavity because of the pressure from all the oxygen that's being forced into them. So he's got a secondary issue now. And then the doctor said, I'll try and give him a diuretic, but it could affect his kidney. So you try something, it could cause a problem on somewhere else. But he's much more in very, very dire condition, actually. We cried a lot yesterday over my dad because we just are so afraid for that call.
I know.
And it's horrifying, you know.
I know.
But I did talk the doctor into giving him convalescent plasma, which is plasma from people who have recovered from. So he did administer that, and the numbers went up a little today, so maybe that helped. But I'm waiting for my mom to get her dose as well. I had to ask the doctors. They didn't offer it.
So, yeah, that's I don't know how much they have, how many people give the blood, how much, who they
exactly.
are keeping for. Are they keeping for younger people? We will never know. And I know that even here in London, just people are afraid to even go to hospitals for any reason outside of COVID. And we have proved that a lot of people got COVID in a hospital. So it's just miracle. This is just petrifying. So, like I say, I have no idea how to protect myself and my daughter outside of what we know how to do. And you were doing mask and washing hands and not seeing people and just going on only to buy some food and not going, no restaurants, no nothing like that.
Yeah.
And this could take us a long, long time. What about vaccination? Now, you will be hopefully protected for some time, and your daughter, and
yes.
Because you got the COVID, so you'll be having antibody. So probably you will, knowing you, go to hospital and say, take my blood if somebody needs or something.
For sure.
I have friends who are doing that in Warsaw right now. They're for third and fourth time, they're called back to hospitals because doctors asked for the taking plasma, separate the blood.
I'll be first in line.
Yeah, So we are praying for this vaccination, but we are living in this bubble because also here in London, they said that what they see, that a lot of people who are dying.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Of course, who are dying, they are not well educated, or they are from different culture, they are in this and that. People try to find out why certain people are dying, why certain people are not. So vaccination is, everybody's waiting for that. In the beginning, it said before March, we probably will be almost ready to come back to normal life. Today I read, they said it will be third big wave of death in London with the new virus that we have. And then in the summer, they said it will be the fourth, and that will be the hardest. In the summer, they said it will be even more than in the winter. So, it's like just obvious. The speculation is petrifying because you don't know if they are just talking or this is the truth and nothing
right.
you can do. And the getting the jab, they call this a vaccination jab here, is so slow. They have only so small amount of people older than 80s now vaccinated. Very, very small amount of people. It's 600,000 people that got this vaccination. So with this tempo or speed, some people said it will take 10 years to vaccinate England, if that's what they will do. I see that in America went much faster. The beginning, I read somewhere is more than a million people in the first 2 to 3 days got the vaccination. So do you think America has a chance to get vaccination fast, or this also will be stretched and not available to everybody?
I think it'll, just from the way that America has handled this from the beginning, I don't see how a highly organized administration of a vaccination is going to go well, because I don't think there is any highly organized anything right now.
It's true.
But I'm hopeful. I figure it'll be June, maybe, of next year before I get it. I'm going to get it. I will take it.
Absolutely.
But I'm thinking June, July, August. I don't think it's going to be rushed out to regular folks like me, although I'm kind of special now.
you are special right now in a way. So we will be praying, of course, for all your family to just get healed, and your parents hopefully will come back to you soon. And so when it comes to the next question, I would love to find out, Oak Park is a bubble. They call this, you need to stay in a bubble. But our place, Oak Park Agoura in California, people don't know these places, but it's very, very special. It's what I was going through, very well-educated people, amazing schools, a beautiful, beautiful place to live. And people are more aware, probably, about everything, read and try to protect themselves. A lot of older people living in little further in Westlake Village. So do you see in your arena that with all description, what the place is where we lived, I lived, and where you are living, people are getting sick also? Or do you think that this part, when you have so many people well-educated, taking care of themselves better, schools and children who are in home, beautiful houses, do you think people are just luckier enough that they have all the surroundings and they are not getting sick compared to, of course, Los Angeles, the poor part of Los Angeles?
Right. I think we are, yes, more aware and educated. I think there's less folks getting sick here in this area.
You think so?
Because everybody's very diligent and everybody is very careful. My son works at the grocery store across the street, and 99.9% of people will wear a mask. They can't come in without it, but they don't try. They just do it.
Wonderful.
So I think everybody's really got the common goal to try and get this thing under control. And they're able to stay and work from home and do school from home. They've managed to be able to do all that, whereas maybe in other places, there's no choice, you know. Mom and dad have to go to work, and the kid has to go where, you know. But so, yeah, where we are right now, I feel very fortunate.
So
I'm growing up out here.
Your neighbors, I'm coming back to beautiful beginning when I was mentioning how important for all of us right now to feel we are not alone. That if we have neighbor next door who we can talk to, we are very lucky, because they will probably the first people who will reach out for help, because a lot of families are not living like you are lucky. You had your mommy and daddy 2 miles away. You could walk. And no problem every day to your parents. But most of us, they don't have a situation like that. And family, the closest family that you live in home, and the neighbors, that's what really counts the most. So do you feel that people, because I'm sure neighbors know this is a very close community, that your parents are sick, do they respond to you? Do you get some nice feedback?
Absolutely.
Ask questions? They care?
Yes. Absolutely. Neighbors to me are an extension of family. If you have the right good neighbor, they can be as close to you as your family almost.
Absolutely.
And that's what I have. Right now, I can think of 1, 2, 3, 4 people in the immediate surrounding who are all aware of the situation and are reaching out and are checking up, and I'm telling them what's going on. But yeah, to me, my neighbors are one step below my family.
Yeah.
Except I'm not getting them sick.
That's wonderful. So I would love to end our show with my life story, because I mentioned that how really, really important person in our life you were a year ago. You stepped in to be mama for my dog, who was very, very sick and was not able to fly. And I left my precious dog in your hands. And like I said, I didn't know you well. We just were talking, walking with our dogs. And you became a really, really important person in our life. And obvious, forever this will be like that. So I'm really worried. I'm really wishing you the best. And I would like a little to find out, when you agree to take a dog for a few weeks from us and say, okay, I'll take care of your Porsche, that's her name, you go settle in London and then your dog will be sent with passport and all of this very unusual and tough situation, but I will help you with that. I asked so many people. I asked mm-hmm. a few really great friends, and in the end, none of people could take it her. So we were like 2 or 3 days before flight. We thought we have a perfectly healthy dog. We have amazing picture of all of us, you know, me leaving Porsche in your hands, and I thought my dog is healthy. And then 4 weeks later, when the people came to pick her up to take care of dog before her flight, doctor said Porsche is very sick. She has water in her lungs. She just cannot fly. She will die. Probably they called us middle of the night because obviously of time difference, like 2 at night. Right. And honestly, I was ready to say we need to put my dog down. Not only the cost of having her being taken care of in the situation that she was in with all MRIs and the medicine, and strangers were there with her, with doctors, the people who needed to put her next day to the plane. So they had no even too much connection with Porsche. They were wonderful people who just took Porsche from your home and right. put in the van, delivered to the doctor, because a few hours later she's supposed to fly with a last shot and whatever. And then we found out in the middle of the night how much sick my dog is. So I called you, and like I said, I was ready to put her down because doctor said maybe 6 months she will be alive, maybe 1 year with sickness that she has. So I said, it's crazy. And I don't have anybody to ask for this favor, who I can even ask for it. And you were the person who said, I'll take care of Porsche. I'll take care of dog. I'll get her better. And you had this beautiful attitude, you know, also like all will work out somehow. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was ready to give up on my dog. My daughter, who I didn't think she was so crazy about my dog. She just loved her, but not like. And she just went crazy, said, no, mommy, I want my dog. I cannot. We need to save her. Whatever it costs, I don't care. And then when you said, of course, you are the missing link, you said, I'll take care of her. I was like, okay, sweetie, whatever it takes. We have Angel who will take care of Porsche. And you did. For how many? For 3 months.
And I think so, yeah.
And I don't want to say, there wasn't your one dog you had.
Yes.
Your own dog, another dog, very old one, who you, your Delilah, beautiful, sweet dog, who is not with us anymore,
right.
took your dog from, you didn't buy this dog, you just got, yes, from?
From the animal shelter.
Okay, I'm coughing. And Delilah was old, she was blind, yes?
Yes, deaf.
Deaf. And then you have your beautiful buddy, doggy, full of energy.
Yes.
That my Porsche and your doggy, they were like,
Yes. But they also had fun together.
But we are talking about three.
Yeah.
Animals living with you, with your sweet daughter then, and your son. And yes. All of you three were just amazing. Taking her to doctors. Taking care of her, washing her, cleaning her, doing everything. Only 2-3 months later, the same situation happened. The van came, the people with the passport took her to the doctor, and we got clean bill of health.
Yes.
And we got our Porsche in our arms.
Yes.
Thinner, because she really loves to eat, which
fine.
Right now, she's not so thin like you gave us. She was in very good shape when you gave me Portia back, my beautiful dog. So I want to say, and whole world again, to know that beautiful, wonderful relationship can be created because you just strike the little conversation with your neighbor or somebody on the street, and then one day that you need the most, then somebody like you steps into your life and just saves you, saves your dog, or saves situation that you are in, and you will never ever understand why did you do that. You didn't ask me for money. You didn't ask for anything. You just, I'll take care of your dog. So how can I say more? How much we love you, how much we thank you, and how much my dog, who is under under my legs now, and she's very, very close. Probably she hears the voice. So thank you, Teresa, so much for everything.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
In a way that made us like family. Right.
The family. So you have sister in Vegas also. So
yes.
She's not able to be here with you.
No, it's very difficult for her. Everybody wants to jump in and help. And I have a brother in Northern California. He's stuck. He can't come. But yeah, we're going to get through it one way or the other. And
so if people want to read your posts on the Facebook and just find out more how your mommy and daddy is doing, how you are doing and your daughter is doing, we can send people to Facebook.
Oh, for sure. My Facebook's open to the public anyway. You don't even need a friend request to read it.
And I know that you are very opinionated. You are giving people a lot of good opinions about a lot of situation and political a little. Just
I try not to do too much political.
If everybody will say nothing, so, we are
hard
to say whatever you want to say. But, yeah, people will find probably your reasoning and your logic very, very smart and with reason, what I'm saying. So I will send people also to your Facebook public page for that. So let's spell your name one more time so people know how to find you. So,
okay, you ready?
Yes.
It's T-H-E-R-E-S-A, and last name is P as in Paul, I-R-O-Z-Z-I.
Wonderful. And people ask, what is your roots are from? What are roots are from? We know you are Italian.
Yes. My dear father is Italian, although my mother is Irish, and she married into an Italian family, and she pretty much turned into an Italian.
It's been great, great cooking from both of sides. You probably, your Christmas and holidays are the bestest ever.
Yes.
I know how much you like Italian food. So anyway, for today, Teresa, all the best to you, all the best to your family, all the best to all of us for 2021. Take care of your neighbor. Take care of your family. But if you don't have family close, think that maybe your family will need a great neighbor when they need the help. So we need to take care of each other. That's my message to everybody. Just let's love each other. It's really, really, this 2021 need to be new era. Not being angry, not being mean, having fun with each other. And just when we'll be allowed to hug, lots of hugs. And just every morning, how are you? And not only the reason to say fine, because fine is never fine. So if you ask somebody, how are you? Please expect that maybe one day somebody say, that's my problem for today. I just want to talk. Can you help me? And have an ear and heart open, because like I said, we need each other so much.
That's
great. So we love you one more time. My daughter, Natasha, sends love too. And Portia, I wish I can pick her up and show to everybody, but that was your baby. And for time. So thank you so much for today. Take care of yourself. And everybody goes to Facebook and let's follow up Teresa Pirazzi and see how her lives and her parents, bless them both. And let's be hoping that they will be okay. Come back to you, okay?
Yes.
Right
thank
now.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Accent on London Edition on LA Talk Radio with your host, Ilona Europa. bye-bye for today and have a beautiful, happy 2021 for everybody. Thanks.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.